So I'd like to invite you to join in the scripture, turning as we've been walking through Acts. We come to this sort of, I don't know, strikes me at least as hilarious little account of somebody falling asleep and falling out of the window, which I don't know about you. Who all has ever fallen asleep at maybe an inappropriate, as they might call it, time? I sure have. Once I had a class where I was in a, this was in college, no less, and I was supposed to be learning Greek, and I fell, it was a class of six people, right? Six people, and I fell asleep. Oh my gosh, my professor, who I really dearly loved, and he actually sent me on to seminary, which probably was just to get rid of me. But at any rate, he was so patient and kind, gracious. So here's a guy. It's a story and an account about a guy who falls asleep as Paul is preaching. And so I've always loved it, thinking about my own ventures and falling asleep. Oh, by the way, who has a fall asleep syndrome with turkey? Anybody? Yeah. And I bet I'm not seeing, you know what? This is a, the word that's used for Paul's speaking here is a word that actually isn't just preaching like you might think of it. It's interactive. It means actually dialogue. Now, I don't know about you, but the services that have meant most to me of those are those that have been where they've been interactive. When I was a kid and went to my family's church out in Missouri, I'll never forget my grandmother. My great grandmother, it was, had a cane. And anytime the preacher said something that she like agreed with, she would go and stomp that cane on the wooden floor and say, "Preach it, brother! Preach it, brother!" And then there'd be amens and all sorts of things interacting with the. And if there wasn't, the preacher knew something was wrong. So I guess something is wrong with a lot of my preaching. Fortunately, I can look out and see people at least like shaking their heads or, smiling, getting, I know there's something, but I sure would love it if it was interactive. If you would actually, I think what Paul did too was there was a lot of question and answer in his day. He'd ask him a question, and it wouldn't just be rhetorical. It would be like, "I'm looking for an answer from you guys. You guys are with me, aren't you? Amen?" So, all right. This is what Paul is. This is what happened to Paul. And another guy, young man, as it is in the scripture here. In verses 7 through 12, we're looking at in chapter 20 of Acts. And it says, "On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread." He's been in Troas, which was a rather major port city in what's now Turkey. So just below, anybody here in the Straits of the Dardanelles? Or Gallipoli? Gallipoli was where a major battle of World War I was fought. Anybody see the movie Gallipoli? You're shaking your head? All right. Tragic battle. It was Australians, New Zealanders who fought in that battle. Troas was right off of this area, right just a few miles away from Troy, where Troy lay, or at least the ruins of it. You know Helen, who launched 1,000 ships of Homer's great, the Iliad. So Paul has here been, as it says in verse 6, for 7 days already. And so on the first day of the week, 7 days, in other words, later, first day of the week, which would have been this very day, the Sabbath, what we call the Sabbath day. Of course, as it was in Jewish time, the Sabbath day was yesterday. Exactly. So today was a work day. Now, this strikes me as interesting because, you know, so many of us were well aware that sports are going on Sundays now. You can't hardly get away from it. If your kids are going to participate in sports, they're often the coaches will tell them, you've got to be here. Same way at this time in the early church. Some of us also are told we have to go to work on a Sunday. And it's same way at this time. This was a work day for people. And that's why they were meeting in the evening. And it goes on to say, they came together to break bread. Now, this is one of the few places in scriptures where we find at least a model of description of what early Christian worship was like. So the first thing that they did was they gathered together to break bread. And that didn't just mean Holy Communion as we celebrate it with the little wafers or the little cubes of bread and the shot glasses, as I call them. It meant an outright meal. This is why Paul wrote in the Corinthians, a letter to the Corinthians, that you guys are abusing the meal. Some of you are eating too much. Others are going hungry. They shared the meal together. It was like, in fact, and I love this idea. Somebody has suggested that we have at least every other month potluck getting together as the family of the church, right? And share a meal together. That sounds like a super idea to me. For one thing, I like to eat and it's showing more and more. For the other thing, I could hardly get into my hunting costume because of, oh, Lord. But I think this is what they did. They, in fact, not think, I know this is what they did. You've heard of the, maybe the Moravians having a love feast? They shared with one another a meal. And as you'll see, they shared with one another a meal before and after the worship together. Some of these who gathered together were very poor. They were slaves. This may have been the best meal of the entire week. And so Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. So it began at supper time, and he spoke until midnight at least. Now, there were many lamps in the upstairs rooms. If you think about a Roman house of the day, they had a central sort of open square, and then the structure of the house would have been built around that central garden area. And so the stories of the house would go up from there. And this was at least a three-story house, because here we find that there was one named Eutychus. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus. Eutychus means lucky. A slave name. It's a common slave name. And boy, was he ever lucky. Because listen to how it goes on. Who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. It's hard sometimes to stay awake, isn't it? As someone talks on and on. And I see you. And so that's why it's fun to interact with you. But the Eutychus is up in that windowsill. And, you know, they were big at that time, being built out of mud bricks or stone at best. And you could sit in them. And so he fell into a sound sleep. And he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. There's been some discussion about whether or not he was really totally, if he was actually dead, or if he was like knocked out, because Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, which reflects what often is in the Old Testament told of Elijah and Elisha as they, in their ministries. Here Paul is reflecting what happened. So whether, now Luke seems to tell us that this Eutychus, lucky, was really dead. And so Paul threw himself on Eutychus, just as it's recorded that Elijah and Elisha did. And what happens? But breath comes back to him as he picks up this young man. It's probably like, as the word is, a pais is the Greek word, meaning he was a child. So he could have been somewhere like between 8, maybe 15 at the most, and a slave. He picked him up in his arms, put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said to all those who were listening. "He's alive." So as the debate still goes on, whether he was just knocked out, and people can be knocked out from that height and not be actually killed, or as it seems to intimate, he was actually dead. It doesn't really matter. He's alive. And you have to think Luke is also speaking about maybe the story of Jesus himself. That's reflected in the life of Paul, because, you know, Jesus shared a last meal with his beloved friends, his disciples. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's sharing a last meal before he goes off to places where eventually he'll face his own death. Then he went upstairs again and broke bread, the second meal, and ate. After talking until daylight, so this is like from at least 7 to all the way to 7 of the next day, Paul's had this dialogue with the people there in Troas. Think of the joy of their being together, and yet also their sadness because Paul's about to go on from them. The people took that young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Surely this isn't just about Eutychus, lucky, but it's also about the great comfort that they felt in bringing with Paul and with each other. You know, anytime we're together, anytime we're sharing a meal together, it's great comfort. We put together this Thanksgiving dinner. It wasn't even for us. I don't think any of us ate a lick of it, right? But it was great comfort to be doing something together. That's the great gift of the church, is that we're meant to be together. Together in fellowship, together to encourage each other, together to be in mission and ministry for the sake of Christ. Together. You know, who were your favorite teachers? Maybe your favorite preachers. One of my things when I was a kid too, was just on the bulletin here. When I was a child, draw tanks. It was during the Vietnam War, and I saw them on TV. But I was listening. That's what children do. They're listening as they're causing commotion. They're soaking up that there's love here. There's the fellowship of Christ here. Did these, your favorite teachers, or preachers, or the people that you got to know here, did they not also invite you into the room, like Paul did, of the gospel? Did they not also set the table for you, like here they ate together, broke bread, and indeed the sacrament of Holy Communion was certainly a part of this breaking of bread, as well as the fellowship meal. Did they not also feed you with the Word of God, the living, resuscitating, life-giving Word? That's what it means to sing of the wonderful words of life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who gave us the wonderful words, the beautiful words. Those who shared the meals with us around the fellowship tables of this church. Those who gave us at least an image of the heavenly table around which we all shall gather by faith, because of the grace that you've shown to us through Christ. May this time of preparation for the coming of Jesus be truly a time in which we shall also gather round the table that's set for us. Amen.